Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, distinguished colleagues on judicial proceedings. I want to start by just saluting Senator Zirkin and Senator Kittleman for their leadership on the decriminalization bill, which I also fully support and intend to vote on. I also want to echo something Senator Kittleman said in just prefacing my remarks with a quick public service announcement to my three children, Hannah, Tommy, and Tabitha, which is I do not want them using alcohol, tobacco, or marijuana. Everything that I am saying today has to do with my responsibilities as a public official for the public health and the public safety. So Mark Twain once said that history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And our failed experiment in marijuana prohibition rhymes with our failed experiment in alcohol prohibition between 1920 and 1933, when the country was embroiled in gang violence and law enforcement wars against bootleggers and the organized crime syndicates that were built out of the failure of prohibition. And we've been waging a failed war on marijuana since the Richard Nixon administration in the 1970s. We have failed to reduce supply. We have failed to reduce demand. And this is something that many conservative economists and critics noted more than two decades ago, when Milton Friedman said that the war on drugs would be a failure, at least with respect to marijuana, because of the law of supply and demand, and William F. Buckley called for legalization of marijuana because he said that the experiment in the war on drugs with respect to marijuana was a disaster. So what have we succeeded in doing with the war on marijuana, which after all is a plant? We've really turned it into a war against our own people. We have criminalized and demonized tens of thousands of our fellow Marylanders. We have ruined many of their prospects for success in the labor market, in the job force. We have been spending more than $100 million a year on criminal arrest, prosecution, and supervision of people for marijuana-related offenses. And yet we have not put a dent into the demand for the drug. And so indirectly, we have been supporting the drug gangs and the international drug cartels in their ruthless trade, essentially swelling their profits, which they turn into guns and violence and even more serious offenses. The war on drugs in Mexico has cost 75,000 lives over the last decade. El Chapo was just arrested and caught a couple of days ago. He was one of the richest 100 people in the world, according to Fortune magazine. But does anyone believe that the arrest and capture of this one guy is going to mean an end to the trade in marijuana? I don't think so. So we're in the same place where our forebears were around a century ago with liquor prohibition. It is time for us to recognize that we're going to be able to improve public safety and public health much better by regulating and taxing marijuana and putting the drug dealers out of business. The drug dealers don't card our children. They target our children. And as Senator Kittleman was saying, any high school student can access marijuana if he or she wants it far more easily than they can access liquor because the government controls that. The drug dealers are not paying taxes on their criminal proceeds. They have no qualms about mixing in PCP or other foreign substances in the marijuana that they sell. So I believe it's time for us to move in another direction. Let's say that it's time to regulate and tax marijuana. Let us legalize it for adults 21 and up. We will keep it a serious criminal offense for anybody to dare to sell it to a child. In our state, we should throw the book at anybody who dares to sell marijuana to kids in our state. And we should kick the drug dealers out of Maryland and deal with this as a serious public policy issue, as if we really wanted to make improvements in public safety and public health for our population. And I think that I think that we will do that. I think that we will be able to get the message out about what the real dangers are. I think we'll be able to save law enforcement resources for the serious crimes like the unsolved murders that we've got in our state, the domestic violence crimes, the white-collar crimes, the corruption crimes. And we will be able to make a lot of money in revenue. If you check out page 17 of the fiscal and policy note, you will find predictions that we will make somewhere between $100 and $130 million a year in excise and sales taxes. Someone said to me today, well, look at Colorado. They've already sold tens of millions of dollars of marijuana. And I said, that's right. That's tens of millions of dollars that won't go into the coffers of drug dealers and organized crime in that state. They will be able to tax it, and that money will be put back into public health, public education, alcohol and drug abuse treatment in that state. And I'm hoping that we can do the same thing as well. Mr. Chairman, there are obviously hundreds of people who've wanted to testify. We've tried to limit down our witnesses just to a handful of panels, but I want to just describe thematically what they are so you can get a sense of how we're trying to address every dimension of the problem. The first panel is just a tiny microcosm of law enforcement officers who I believe they're all retired now, to address the issue from a law enforcement perspective. I know that there was a press conference earlier today from some existing law enforcement personnel, and I think we're going to get a frank and candid statement from these officers at the federal, state, and county level about the futility and the counterproductive nature of the war on drugs. Next, we're going to have a panel on the health dimensions of both the current system and how, if we move to a regulate and tax system, we would be able to advance the public health. The third is addressing the economic, business, and policy dimensions of taking what is a thriving criminal trade now and turning it into a lawful enterprise that will hire our citizens and create hundreds, perhaps thousands of new jobs for Marylanders. Panel four will address the question raised by our distinguished vice chair about the extreme racial disparities that have grown up in this system of criminal law enforcement, why they're there, and how we can deal with it in a much more productive way. And then I do believe there may be some other people who have signed up since, but we've definitely tried to confine it and focus it, Mr. Chairman. And with that, I would submit it to the wisdom of my colleagues.
Okay.